welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 122. Due to some outside circumstances and life situations, all the cast is gone this week, and we are delaying the Nerd Bowl, so it won't be Super Bowl weekend this year. We'll have something in March for March Madness, but I did want to put together a show this week, and I figured that since Saturday marks the premiere of Megaforce, the 20th anniversary of the Power Rangers series, that would be a great time to finally talk about Power Rangers, since nobody else on the show really wants to talk about it. So joining me this week, we have a very special guest. We have Michael.
Hello. Hey, I'm Michael Donahoe. I used to be on EGM and 1UP. I work on SimCity now, and I am a Power Rangers fan.
Yes, which is something very hard for people to admit. I think there's a part of Power Rangers that was cool when you were a kid, but then it kind of became a stigma that it was uncool to like Power Rangers.
See, I would actually disagree. I think that around the time that Mighty Morphin Power Rangers came on, which was, I should look up it on Wikipedia. I believe it was maybe like 93, 94.
Yeah, 93.
When Power Rangers was on TV, I believe I was in around sixth or seventh grade, and I was at that age in my life where I shouldn't be liking this show, but for whatever reason, I was so just enamored with it because of how weird it was. Because you gotta remember, this show was actually a Japanese show that they took the footage of that show, and then they spliced it together with this American footage, so it had this weird kind of hokey feel to it. And so as a kid, I loved it, but I didn't want to readily admit to my friends that I was a fan of the Power Rangers, so I kind of watched it by myself. I would sing the theme song, and if people were like, hey, do you like Power Rangers? I'd be like, no way, man. That show's lame.
Yeah, you see, I guess I was a bit younger. I think when Power Rangers premiered, I would have been 8 or so. So I was at that age where it was really cool to just kind of be into it. Because, I mean, especially for my generation, I mean, I guess the same thing with you, is like you kind of went from Ninja Turtles to Power Rangers. And it was the same thing, color-coded superheroes. And there was multiple ones. You and your friends can always get to be somebody on the team. But what happened was you went through Power Rangers, and then they had the 3 series. And then you kind of went through Zeo. And then once you hit Turbo, that's when it's uncool for you to have started being a Power Rangers fan. And that's what if you talk to most adults, they're like, oh yeah, I stopped watching that Zeo. Nobody watched Turbo. But everybody's seen In Space. So,
That's the funny thing too, is that, you're saying that some people stopped at Turbo or Zeo. I don't even remember those, to be honest, because I stopped watching Power Rangers as soon as the original Mighty Morphin cast were no longer on the show, which I'm not even sure what season that was, because they had the first season, they had the second season, which was the kind of the green and the white ranger, or actually, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, and then they had the movie, and pretty much I stopped watching after the movie, because that's when they pretty much got rid of the cast that everyone knew, and once it was kind of like they did the kind of like the Saved by the Bell, the new class kind of feel, where it was the same show but a different cast, I completely stopped watching.
So, yeah, I mean, you kind of went along to, I mean, if you're talking about when they completely rebooted it, where I think it was during Turbo, they all graduated high school and they became too old to become Power Rangers. Or are you talking about like when they, because there was a time when Jason, Trina, and Jack all left the show.
Yeah, exactly, and that's pretty much when I stopped watching, because I watched the movie and that was amazing, and after that, done.
The movie is something special as well, because, and we'll get to that in a bit, but it ages well enough that it's still cheesy fun, but it looks horrible because they rely so much on CG, it looks like a giant cartoon now.
Oh yeah. But at the time, I mean, that movie was quite a spectacle, if you think about it. I mean, it was so weird to see this show that, I mean, especially if you look at the history of the Power Rangers, because, like I said, I mean, this show started out as a Japanese show, and I actually, there's this really awesome YouTube video that kind of goes through the entire history of the show. But what I found really interesting is that, you know, this series in Japan has been going on for just a really, really long time. And for whatever reason, some people in America thought, okay, let's take this footage and incorporate it into an American television show. But what was crazy about it was there was no – it's completely insane that this show got so popular to the point where they were able to make a movie with completely new content that was not done for – or not made by the Japanese for America. And I find that really interesting. And so the movie is really cool because they were able to create a show or a movie based on a show that originally wasn't even a show that the Americans created. So it's kind of this weird thing of like...
Yeah, it's probably the most American thing of Power Rangers, because even after, you know, even after they transitioned to Mighty Morphin, Zeo, and all that, they still, it's, you know, it's all the Japanese footage, but the Power Rangers movie is completely in American design.
Exactly, which is bizarre when you think about it.
Yeah, and I mean, it is a ton of fun. It's a very interesting film. And it's kind of interesting in the fact that it uses the characters from the shows, and it actually uses the vehicles they would get in the next series of Power Rangers, but it's actually standalone and that has nothing to do with the actual show.
Yeah, because that's when they became ninjas or something. They had the ninja costumes in the movie, and it has that similar feel to the G.I. Joe and the Transformers movies, where the whole point of the movie was, okay, this series has run its course. We need to have a movie, and the movie is going to set up an entire new set of characters and themes that will then transition to the next, you know, incarnation of the show. But when what happened with Transformers and what happened with G.I. Joe as well is that people loved the original content. And so with Transformers, when you had, you know, all like the Unicron stuff and the Galvatron and all those characters, it didn't really, like, mesh. It didn't really work, and it seems like the popularity really dipped. And I think that's what happened with Power Rangers, where they introduced all this new stuff, and they really just wanted the classic. They want to see, you know, the classic costume. They want the classic Megazord. They want the Green Ranger or White Ranger, however you want, you know, which one you like best. They didn't really want the new stuff, but, you know, that's what happens with a kids show. It runs its course.
Which is actually kind of funny that you mention it, because you sent me a video yesterday, which I checked out, and they didn't want to change it so much that they forced their way into pretty much reusing the footage from the first Sentai fig 3 seasons, even though they had no more Japanese footage to use with it.
Exactly. It's because that's what happens with American television shows, is because that people get so attached to these characters. It's what happened with Heroes. That show, where the whole point of that show was every season was going to be a new cast of characters, but the audience got so attached to the characters on the show that the writers were forced to prolong the show despite the fact that it wasn't supposed to be that way. And that's what happened with Power Rangers, is that, you know, they, like you said, they try to keep it going, and in trying to keep it going, they kind of wrote themselves into holes. But that's kind of the charm of the show, is that if you watch some of the later seasons, there's some bizarre stuff they had to do to make up for the fact that they had no new footage. Like, certain characters would get, like, abducted for, like, the entire episode.
Yeah, you know, like, famously, it's Tommy, because
they ran out of footage.
Yeah, and the White Ranger footage was from a different show, so that whenever he showed up, it would be from a new Sentai that they weren't adapting, so they couldn't have him during the battles because they had no footage of that, so he'd go missing for part of the episode.
Which is hilarious, too, because the Green Ranger was this badass, totally awesome fighter, right? And every kid loved him because Tommy, the character who played, or, well, Jason David Frank, who played Tommy, was just a really good martial artist. And so you're watching the show, and you're thinking, damn, Tommy is the shit. And then you watch these episodes where he gets knocked out or abducted for, like, the entire episode. You're like, what the hell? I thought Tommy was better than this.
And it is funny how Tommy becomes popular because, again, going back to adapting the Sentai, when he came on the show as the Green Ranger, and the problem with the Green Ranger is that he dies in the original source material. So they had to find a way to kind of write him out or not have him be in episodes as much to begin with. And then they had to get him out of the show because he no longer had powers. And then he came back.
No, I just want to say, like, we should talk about that storyline. So I don't, for everyone who's listening who doesn't know this, I was just flabbergasted when I found out exactly the exact storyline for the Green Ranger in the original Japanese show. So I don't remember it exactly, so I'm just going to paraphrase it. But from what I remember, this character is one in which he has this timer, or like a sand timer, and he has to do something, and if he doesn't do it in time, he will die. And so he's trying to complete it. Do you remember? Did you watch it? Do you remember?
Yeah. What happened was I believe it, because the way they do it is he's an ancient spirit who actually died in a like he was buried alive while he was hibernating or whatever, and somebody brought him back to life and kind of put his spirit into this Candu. So as long as he stayed in like the spirit realm, he wouldn't die. But anytime he ventured out, part of his life force would deplete.
Is that what the timer was?
Yeah, that's what the magical candle was.
Oh, the candle, that's right. And it's so sad.
Well, it's actually kind of funny, because they do bring the candle back.
That's true, they do, you're right.
But it's now, instead of killing him, it's Rita has it. It's some weird thing where I guess she can absorb his power, so the more he uses it, the faster the candle burns and stuff like that.
Yeah. I just find it so interesting, because, I mean, if you... For anyone who's seen the original show, I mean, it's completely hokey and jokey, and it's, there's really not a lot of serious undertones to it. And then you kind of flip it over and you look at the Japanese version, and it's depressing. I mean, this character is about to die. He's like this ancient spirit that's like slowly fading away, and it makes you think, like, holy crap, like.
It also kind of tells you, I mean, shows you the difference, because American TV shows, we really don't, I mean, in kids shows, you don't really let characters die.
Oh yeah, not at all.
And to just kind of having a character with a death line over his head the entire series is kind of morbid, but we would never do anything like that. As far as I know, I think only one Power Ranger has ever actually died in active battle, and that was because the actress portraying her was suffering from cancer or something and had to be written out of the show.
Oh, wow. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I forget if it's... I think it's Lost Galaxy, but that, again, that's, you know, good further down the line. But, yeah. So, again, going back to Tommy, is that then they had to bring him back as the White Ranger, and as we mentioned before, the White Ranger was from a different Sentai series, so they had to work around that, which meant that half of the episode he'd be knocked out because he couldn't fight with them, because they were still using footage from the original series while he was from a new show. So they had no footage of the team together.
That's amazing.
And here's the thing. I mean, I guess you weren't the brightest kid. We all knew this as youngins. I mean, like, you know, like, there wasn't the internet back then, but you could look at it and say, this doesn't belong as a kid.
Actually, I don't know. Like, when I was a kid, I think I was 11 when the original series started. I'm 30 now. And what I found interesting was that I kind of had a feeling something was off, right? Because when you watch the show, the segments with the American actors are obviously filmed in a much higher resolution. And then when they would show the Japanese footage, it was a little bit grainier. And then they would kind of film in these, they would always film that kind of like that mountainous set where there's always that mountain in the background. And it was really jarring because all of the scenes with the kids were at this kind of California-esque, you know, high school and kind of a flatland. You're kind of like, where's this mountainous area? Why are they always going there? And it never really made any sense, but I didn't really put the pieces together until I got a little bit older, probably around the time when the movie came out, that I kind of started to understand, okay, wait a second, this is not right.
I always thought it was just them being considerate and deciding that, you know, we're just going to take the fight away from the city.
I guess, but it was never really...
It was never exchanged.
Yeah, they just kind of, like, transported to this mountainous area that they always fought in. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's the same way that Tommy, when he became the White Ranger, well, Green Ranger as well, he'd always been, like, the same building. And Angel Grove was never really seen as, like, a a urban area. Like, it never seemed like it had tall buildings, but they would always go to like the downtown area and the beachfront. And like, it, those are places that actually exist in the show, except when you need to fight.
Exactly. And for me, the one aspect of the show that I always thought was the coolest, and to this day, I still don't know how they do it, and I kind of should probably not admit this, but I'm I really want to know how, is when they're fighting in the suits, they would do the thing where the sparks would fly, and so they would hit them with a sword, and they would, like, the sparks would fly, and they would do the freeze, the slow motion spin, they would jump and spin around and stuff, and I was always like, how do they do that? I don't see anything on their suits. Like, how are there sparks? I still don't know. I'm still a kid. I'm stupid.
It's actually kind of funny. I don't really know what's the basis behind that, other than it looks cool for a kid. But I've watched Power Rangers on and off for years because I'm one of those people who just doesn't really give up on stuff he enjoyed. So I believe it's Power Rangers RPM. Which is like one of the more recent ones, and they explain that it isn't explosions. It's their suit. It's like when they morph, they give off an electrical discharge, and that's its manifestation. Which is why like they're sparked, and like, sometimes when they morph, it's explosions and stuff like that, because that's their suit giving off energy.
Oh wow! I didn't actually. This is funny because. What I was just asking wasn't the storyline explanation for it. I was just actually, I was wondering how they actually filmed it.
Oh.
But I think it's funny though, because I think it's awesome that they actually gave a storyline explanation for why there's sparks. That's pretty cool. But there was a part of me as a kid that didn't really care why there was sparks. I just wanted to know how they actually created the sparks while they were filming, because I'm like, that's so cool how they do it, because I don't see, like, you, it's kind of like when you're a kid and you can see the blood packets in movies and you're like, oh, you know, like, I, you can see, like, you know, that guy's about to get shot, you can see the blood spill out, but in this show, I, like, to this day, I don't know how they do the sparks. It's probably magic. I think it's magic.
It probably is. I'm not really sure how that works either, but they continue to use it and it continues to look nice.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I've seen some parts of episodes from some of the newer series, and yeah, I mean, I look at it today, and even to this day, you know, as a 30-year-old, I'm looking at these shows, and I'm like, it still looks pretty cool, I have to say. You know, as a kid, I would still think this was cool today.
Yeah, it is, actually. I worked in a daycare a couple of years ago during, I want to say, Dino Thunder. And it was so, you know, I worked with a bunch of little kids, and it was so much fun because they're really big into Power Rangers. And to them, it's like all new. Like, you know, to us, it's been on for 20 years now, but to them, they're just discovering it. And I had, you know, like, I was explaining it to him, because I don't know if you know about Dino Thunder, but Tommy actually comes back in that series as well as the, like, the mentor figure for the characters. Nice. And he's the Black Power Ranger. And I was explaining to him, like, Tommy was around when I was a kid, and he was the Red Ranger, and he was the White Ranger, and he was the Green Ranger, and now he's back again. And he's like, really? Tommy's been around that long? I'm like, yeah. Because, you know, he had the little Power Rangers, Lunchbox, and all this other stuff. And it's cool. And, you know, there's other things that, you know, pop up from time to time for Power Rangers, as far as, like, during the 10th anniversary season, I want to say this is Wild Force. They had an episode called Forever Red where all the Red Rangers of the past teamed up together.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah, and that was one of the episodes I remember that this was like in college. My friends are talking about it. Like, oh, did you see that awesome? Like, nobody admits to watching Power Rangers in college, but everybody's seen the Forever Red episode because, you know, like, as a kid, I mean, even as an adult, we kind of do this still. You always have big team ups.
Oh, of course.
There's just something about crossover, and everybody was talking about Forever Red, and, you know, how awesome it was to see this, you know, Jason's back, Tommy's back, a bunch of people I can't name who are Red Rangers as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool that they, like, the Power Rangers series has this history over the years, and there's been so many seasons that they can do stuff like that. It's similar to, and I mentioned this earlier, but, like, Saved by the Bell, where they had an episode of Saved by the Bell where they had a new class episode where I believe the premise of the episode was that they were going to sell Bayside or something like that. And so Zach and Lisa and Slater, they all came back for cameos. And, you know, as a fan of that show, I mean, it's really cool to see these characters older coming back and you know, being the characters they are, but also looking different. And I believe it's the same way as for these kids watching Power Rangers to see all the Red Rangers back together. I mean, that's really cool. It's cool to have that history, and it's awesome that they can actually do that in a series that has been going on for as long as the Power Rangers.
Yeah, and you know, it's and part of the reason is they don't have to flip the Belfry out of it, since out of it is Japanese footage. But, you know, after a while, they figured that they can't continue having this overarching storyline for kids and stuff like that. So every season's just kind of standalone. So every season you start with a new cast of Power Rangers, new sets of villains, new sets of Zords and stuff like that. So you can jump in at any time and kind of pick it up and enjoy it or whatever. And, you know, that's probably a good thing. But for us, again, we kind of had the first series. And, you know, not only, I don't know if you watch these as well, but not only did we have Power Rangers, but we also, you know, out of that popularity, we got like stuff like Big Bang, Beetleborgs, VR Troopers.
VR Troopers, yeah. VR Troopers is pretty awful.
I mean, they were all bad in their own special way. They were also enjoyable because, you know, like, again, as a kid, giant robots and monsters fighting is just awesome. But, yeah, it's...
Yeah, there's something about... there's something about VR Troopers that just made it seem even more low rent than Power Rangers, which is kind of ironic to say considering Power Rangers was already very low rent when it came to you know, using footage over and over again and, you know, not having the ability to create their own footage. But I think just VR Troopers was a situation where they realized that Power Rangers was successful. And they really just wanted to create another series, and they didn't really have enough footage and, you know, story to really keep it going. And so they just threw it out there, and obviously it didn't stick quite as well as the Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think part of it was also that they all took an element of Power Rangers. Like, VR Troopers kind of focused more, you know, like, they weren't teenage, well, I don't think they were teenagers, they were a bit older, it was a bit more, I don't want to say dark, I mean, it's still Power Rangers, but, it tried to go for a more serious tone, and then Big Bang Beetleborgs kind of on the other end, where it's kind of more goofy and nonsensical, since, they weren't even teenagers, they were, like, adolescents, they were, like, 13, 14.
Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you, so, who is your favorite villain? Were you a Rita Repulsa, or were you a Lord Zedd?
I of those two, I was a Zedd person. I think that, you know, there was things with parents thinking he was a frightening villain, but
he wasn't. How do you even describe Lord Zedd?
He was like muscles with an exoskeleton.
Yeah, it's like if you were to like rip the skin off somebody and put a, like a weird helmet on him with his own little staff with a Z on it.
and I think that's why I enjoy him, because I mean, there still aren't a lot of creatures in general that have the design like him. Like, he's very unique. While, you know, Rita's interesting and people love her. I got such a headache and stuff like that. Zedd is just a much more visually interesting character.
Yeah, I mean, Zedd was actually, I mean, in terms of, you know, intimidation and, you know, kind of having that role of somebody you thought was threatening. I mean, Lord Zedd obviously, you know, wins in that regard. But I always loved Rita Repulsa. I just thought she was just – I think it's the combination of her costume, which was completely bizarre and over the top, and the amazing dubbing that they gave her. the dubbing was just brilliant. It was just – it's so well done. And I really liked her henchman too, the kind of like the owl-looking guy who molded the monsters that they sent down.
It's Finster, there's Godar, there's Scorpina.
Oh, Scorpina. I forgot about Scorpina.
Baboon and Squat, I think they were.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, was it Goldar? Was that his name?
Yeah.
That guy was badass, too.
And I think he survived longer than any character because he was around through Zio. During Zio, him and, because later on, Rita and Zed get married. And then later on, after that, Rita's brother, Rito Repulso, comes around.
Really?
And goes, yeah.
Oh, I gotta look this up. I had no idea.
Yeah, her whole family shows up. Her father is Master Vow or something like that. And
wow.
That's kind of how they go into, I don't know if you were watching when there's an arc where the Power Rangers are made into little kids.
No.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I gotta look this up right now. This is awesome. Wow, it's so interesting. And what I find really cool too is that I really want to go back and watch the original series as it was in Japan, just to kind of see the difference, because it's so weird how they were able to take some of these monsters and situations and kind of incorporate it for America, but I can't help but watch and just think, like, it's kind of like when you, did you ever watch that show, what was it called, Takeshi's Castle, which was a show that they used to do on Spike TV, where Takeshi's Castle was it was called Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Oh, yes, I used to love that show.
Yeah, so Most Extreme Elimination Challenge was a show that used to, I believe, on Spike TV, and it was a dubbing of this Japanese show called Takeshi's Castle, where it was kind of like a game show where all these people went to this castle and they performed all these crazy games, and they dubbed it over in English, they made fun of it, and I'm watching some of the shows and I'm just thinking, like, this is so bizarre. If you even take out the dubbing and just watch it as is, it's completely insane. And it made me really want to watch the original just to see, like, how insane it is. And I feel the same way about Power Rangers.
Except, I haven't seen the original Sentai, but it seems like in a lot of cases that what we got is the more insane stuff. Because they have to fill so much airtime, because they generally all they take is the fight scenes, and then they just kind of fill in a bunch of these side shots and stuff like that, which is why you get weird things. Every week they were either putting together a dance or a show or a contest or a competition.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, though. That's why I'm intrigued, because I want to know what are they. Because we all know that the fighting footage is what they showed, what they carried over from the Japanese to American series. But in my head, I'm thinking, what the hell did the Japanese show show when they weren't doing the fighting stuff? So did they have equally stupid and weird dance contests and stuff? I mean, like, what were they doing?
Yeah, and I guess, and that's what I would be curious about that too, but I still think we do end up with the more insane stuff. Like, I imagine, it seems like it's a mixture though, because again, that video you sent me, it seems like Turbo, for instance, was a lot more goofy than we got, whereas something like Zio was a bit more serious and grounded, and even the original Power Rangers series, they dealt with death, and it was dealing with a bunch of mystical evils and stuff like that. So it would be curious to watch. There's also 30 some odd years of footage to catch up on, but I guess you can watch any one of them and watch the latest Power Rangers series.
Yeah, and by the way, I just looked up. I looked up Rito. He's like a big skull guy. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. He's like a giant skeleton with a sword that's also made out of bones.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how they're related, because they don't. I don't know how monsters, give birth or whatever.
We need to find this out, okay? If they explained how sparks come out of the costumes, they need to explain this.
They don't even have the same ass name, but okay, whatever. And the other thing, this isn't in the American version, but in the Japanese version, Goldar and Scorpino, who were two of Rita's henchmen in the original series.
Oh, actually, yeah, they were like a couple, right?
Yeah, and they gave birth to a kid, which, again, is something that they probably... Actually, Rita gave birth to a kid as well in the Japanese... or she had a kid in the Japanese series. But I guess they didn't want to deal with that because you'd have to kill the kid off eventually, and that's just getting messed up.
Yeah, you know, and that's why... Because when you said Scorpina, I completely forgot about that character. But then I remember what she looked like, and it was essentially like an Asian woman who dressed just like Goldar. And yeah. now that you mention that, I'm like, I remember, yeah, they obviously were a couple because they dressed exactly the same.
Power couples, what can you do?
Yeah, Scorpina is a human-scorpion hybrid. Wow, it is one of Rita Repulsa's most ruthless and dangerous minions aside from Goldar. Damn.
I don't even know what a human scorpion... How does that come about? Like, is it human... You know, it's stuff like that you don't ask as a kid, you just think it's a cool costume.
Well, that's the funny thing is that I don't believe... Because I don't think Scorpina was actually featured very prominently in the American version. Because they obviously, like, they show her a couple times, and essentially she just has, like, this weird kind of helmet thing. I don't know. It's kind of odd. But, yeah, apparently she showed up in one of the newer series, because I see her with some American kids. But, yeah, interesting. Interesting. Oh, there's a birth of Scorpina, apparently, on YouTube. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by it.
I know how that goes. I spend way too much time, and part of the reason this came up on the podcast, and you can also see it on the site I'm doing, is that sometimes I will go on YouTube and like it's like, you know, check out like the morphin sequences from all the shows, or check out all the Megazord transformations, or check out all the theme songs, or stuff like this. And yeah, I guess we can, because we haven't actually touched on the show, but you know, there are elements of the show, and you start off with the Power Rangers, and their morphers, which again was something different for the time. Like we had, you've had Transformers and stuff like that. And you had Ninja Turtles, but you didn't have people who kind of called out and became superheroes. Like I mean, nowadays it's you know like there are comic book characters who do it, but Shazam and stuff like that. But they weren't on TV.
Well, and what's cool about Power Rangers and what I think really helped its popularity was it's essentially a live action Voltron. Because, yeah. I mean, that's essentially what Voltron is, a bunch of kids who have different color costumes, and then they get into a bunch of animal robotic creatures, and then they all combine together, and they make one big-ass robot, and they fight another big-ass monster, and rinse and repeat, you know, a million episodes. There you go.
Yeah, and it's funny, I guess, in some, because to us, Voltron is the oldest show because it premiered in the States first, but... the Sentais actually predates Voltron, I believe, so it's kind of one of those. It's kind of like Pokemon, where people always say the anime came first in the States, which it does, but the game predates it in Japan.
Oh, of course, yeah, yeah. The game was it came out first, and they made the anime, and that's how people, yeah. But it's weird that you know this idea that these people can come together and you know create something big. As a kid, Voltron was easily one of my favorite toys because of that aspect. I mean, that's why everyone loved Devastator and Transformers, and I'm trying to forget. I forget the other ones. Like, there's the insect one. I can't remember what his big form was. But there's something cool about combining a bunch of things together. And I actually, I was too old at that point to actually have the Power Rangers toys, so I'd never had... I never played with like the Megazord or anything like that, so I don't know how it compares to Voltron. But I think that's what was so cool about this show, and especially what they did really well too is that they always expanded upon the Megazord concept. Like you know, they had like they had the Megazord, then they had the Super Megazord, then they had the one where it combined with the dragon, and you know, they always just kept on like adding to it, and so. You know, before long, it's like super awesome Megazord, Dragonzord times 10.
Yeah, and as a toy company, I'm sure you had to have that, because you didn't sell people the Megazord. You sold them the Tyrannosaurus, you sold them the Mastodon, Sabertooth Tiger, and then they formed the Megazord. And kids would want it. I still want a Megazord. I actually never owned one as a kid because my parents thought it would be stupid to buy. And then when I could afford one, people thought it would be odd to buy. But and it's really hard to find them now, just because apparently I missed the boat when they... Because I don't know if you noticed or not, but... I want to say 2010, they re-released the original Power Rangers show in a new format where it was just the original show.
Yeah,
they added...
I did see that. Yeah, they just added these weird animated interstitials and stuff.
Yeah, it was really strange. Like, Power Rangers is a pretty cheesy show to begin with, and they just like took it to 12.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, but... I will say, though, that actually watching the original shows with that new stuff, it's still entertaining to me. Like, I still find it really awesome, and it reminds me, it's kind of like, Power Rangers to me is like Saved by the Bell, where it's such a product of its time. If you watch Saved by the Bell, it is so 90s. I mean, you can't get any more 90s than Saved by the Bell. I feel the same way about Power Rangers, where everything about the Power Rangers is early 90s. I mean, especially when you look at the clothing and the fact that they try to do this thing where they always wore the color of their costume. So obviously, like, Trini's always going to wear yellow, and Kimberly's always going to wear pink, and Jason's always going to wear red, and the just the ridiculous outfits they wear. And to me, it has a certain charm to it. And if you look at some of the newer Power Rangers series, I don't know if they have that level of charm. Or maybe they do, and I don't watch them.
I mean, I think part of it is just that we're older now, but I also think it's because we've seen the format so many times before. Like I said, part of the charm of Power Rangers was that it was, you know, it's a live-action Voltron, but it was so unique at the time. But, you know, 20 years, we've kind of, like, you can, I mean, I've been watching, because they're all on Netflix now, so I watch some of the shows. Because, again, Power Rangers, it's comfort food. It's something you can put on in the background. You don't have to think about it. You don't have, you know, it's not anything that you have to get invested about or think about. So it's a great thing to kind of, you know, wind down your day with 20-minute episodes. 30 episodes a season, and whatever. And the thing is, it's all kind of formatic now, because you start with a new team, you have to recruit them, get them all together, they have problems, a threat comes in, they get the Megazord, which is something that not every show explains. I think the original series does, and most of them don't. Is there a reason they don't just go straight to the Megazord form? they don't morph right away either.
Why is that? Tell me.
When Zordon gave them their original powers, I believe the rule of thumb was you can't escalate a fight until it's been escalated. So basically, they can't morph and they can't use the Megazord unless the enemy does it first. It's a very backwards rule. because you know it's going to end up that way. I always used to laugh when they fought the cannon, because they'd always fought the cannon, you know, the weapon they form when they all throw up, like, their swords and their...
Yeah, which they only did in maybe, like, two episodes.
And it never killed the enemy. they'd celebrate, and then the monster, like, Rita would throw down her staff, magic wand, make my monster grow.
Yeah.
And then they'd have to call the Megazord. And speaking of the Megazord, it also had that really stupid middle phase that they never really used.
Oh, yeah. When it's just, it's like the phase before it actually, it's like the horizontal phase, where it's kind of like a tank, before it actually turns up and forms the robot. Am I right on that?
Yeah, and it's supposed to shoot lasers and stuff, but they never really do it. They just kind of, like, do that to get an extra shot, and then they do the whole Megazord sequence.
It's similar to the because they each had, like, these, like, these guns too. They had, like, they had, like, a gun, and Jason had, like, a sword. And I remember thinking, like, those are so cool, and they never used them.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And again, going back to, like, the power thing, it's the same thing where, like, they have the ability to morph, and morphing gives them special protection and stuff like that. And in later series, it gives them special powers. But they would wait until they got their ass kicked by the putty for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, before they're like, maybe I should morph into my, my ranger costume so I can kick their ass. You know, like, what the hell? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's funny how, you know, they're supposed to be the saviors of Earth, and we're supposed to make sure that the monsters don't, you know, wreak havoc on the world, and yet they always wait for them to cause destruction before they're like, maybe we should stop the monster. It's like, really, guys?
I think Power Rangers would be the ultimate reactive superheroes because they literally do not ever, they're never progressive. They're always waiting until the next major threat happens.
Exactly. Which is funny, too, because, you know, as a kid, you don't really think about it. But then if you, as you get older and you realize, it's like, okay, if the Power Rangers really were smart and say, you know, Rita does throw down a monster and immediately they're like, okay, let's break out the Megazord. You break out the Megazord and they like, you know, just stomp on the monster and squash it. Episode's over. You're done.
Yeah. Not only that, but they know where Rita is. She's on the moon.
Yeah, go fight her.
Go up there. I mean, because there are episodes where they kind of go to Rita's palace.
Well, yeah. Well, because there was that episode where... during the Green Ranger storyline, where the Green Ranger was actually held captive in Rita's kind of like dungeon or something.
Yeah. And Jason was held captive there a couple of times versus Goldar. So yeah. they know where her base is. They know how to, you have a teleporter, go to the moon, go with your Megazord, knock her out, call it a day, save the world.
I think it's kind of like a love-hate relationship where, you know, they want to keep her around because... you know, if they get rid of her, then they'll be bored and they won't have anything to do. And then it's just, if they get rid of Rita, it's just going to be dance contest and you know, karate competitions all day long. How boring is that going to be?
Which is pretty active for high schoolers, anyhow. And speaking of, they were not teenagers with attitude. They were like the most clean-cut.
Yeah.
The kids on the planet, like charity work, you know. Food drives, competitions. They helped out at the youth center.
There was Skull Bowl. Yeah, I mean those guys were they were jerks, and I like too that those characters are great because in the beginning they literally were jerks. They were pretty much assholes to the Power Rangers, but as the series progressed, they just became these lovable goofs. Good.
I was going to say, they had more character development than any characters on the show because they always had to reinvent them for every series. So in the first series, they were just, you know, in the first season, they were just boys. In the second season, they were so obsessed with finding out the identities of the Power Rangers. I think the third season, they wanted to help them. The fourth season, they trained to become police officers.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I do remember that.
So yeah, they had character growth. They had progression. They weren't stagnant. A lot of the Power Rangers characters, why they were fun and interesting. And this is something that becomes really, really problematic later on because you have a finite number of episodes. They have what I call single episode issues. Like they have this character flaw that only exists in that one episode that they have to overcome to become better Rangers. And it kind of gets old when it's like, one, I always hate the fact that they introduce it without ever actually being in the show. Like you have, what was the one I just watched? Jungle Fury. And like halfway through the show, one of the Rangers becomes a karate instructor out of nowhere. He's new in town and he becomes a karate instructor. And the other one's a dance instructor. It's never brought up again. It was never brought up before, but they needed it for that episode because they needed them to play off with somebody else. I'm like, it's not, you have 20 minutes. You can kind of introduce these things across, you know, one or two episodes before saying, like, this is going to be the focus.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think, too, that if you think about it, Bulk and Skull, whatever their names are, they're actually the true heroes of the show.
And to that extent, they actually do kind of get that payoff eventually when they help lead the human charge at the end of In Space. I don't know if you watch In Space, but In Space served as the capper for like, the first 6 years of Power Rangers, where it kind of tied up everything from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers till then. And like they get to be, you know, they get like the heroic human side to them.
Yeah, and to me, like it's funny how you know they're almost more, they're almost like better heroes than the Power Rangers themselves, despite the fact that they don't have powers, they don't have Megazords, they don't have special suits. But it's almost like that kind of a Batman mentality where, you know, they're able to do greater good amongst these, you know, more powerful beings by just being normal people. So I respect those guys. They're my favorite.
Yeah, they're awesome characters. And, you know, much like I mentioned that Tommy comes back later on, Bulk actually came back in the most recent series, Power Rangers Samurai, with Skull's nephew, and he was training him to become a samurai warrior.
Of course.
So, I mean, it's nice that they play on the history. It's also kind of, you know, silly because at the end of the day, most people who are watching this show don't know who these characters are.
Exactly. Well, let's do another. I want to do another question for you. So, I mean, you've obviously seen the movie, right?
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts on Ivan Ooze? Do you think that he was a worthy successor for Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa, or did you think he was a lame villain that did not move the series forward?
I'm going to say, and I'm sure it's the same way with you and most people, is that it's hard to replace Rita and Zedd as your villains of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, Ooze had his charm, but he just wasn't, you know, he wasn't. You don't come in and you don't take Rita and Zedd from us. That's what he does. He kicks them out of their own palace, and he takes over. And he's just kind of, you know, he's an interesting villain because being in the movie, what he gets to do is that he gets to be a badass. It's, you know, like, it's kind of the Melmar curse where, like, if you come back every episode and you get your ass beat, you can't be a threat to heroes. But if you're in a movie and you get to be a threat for the first 75% of it, then you kind of feel like this guy's going to be big trouble. And even when they defeat him, they have to cheat.
I don't remember that, but that's awesome.
Well, I mean, they kick him in the nuts.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
With the Megazord, they kick him in the nuts and throw him into an asteroid.
Okay.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, the character itself is kind of goofy, and much like, you know, replacing Rita and Zedd, I also didn't care much for his henchmen, which were the bird warriors.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they were lame. The putty were so much better.
Rita's putties, Zedd putties, I don't know who creates a enemy with a giant target on their chest.
Oh, that's right. If they punch the thing in the center, they disappeared, right?
Yeah, the giant Z, because he has the vanity thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's so right.
Even if you put an Achilles heel, you don't put it front and center.
Yeah, what dumb enemy design. And Lord Zedd's supposed to be this, like, evil master villain. Yeah, someone needs to, like, someone needs to vet his decisions when he's the one that's come out with, let's put this thing on their chest that allows you to kill them instantly. Yeah, good job, Zedd.
And he never remedies that. Like, he never decides, like, we're not, you know, we should take this away. It's stupid.
It's too much pride, man. He's called Lord Zedd, man. There's a lot of pride there. And I think what happened with the movie, because I agree with you completely that Ivan Ooze was a inferior villain to Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa. And it reminds me a lot of the G.I. Joe movie where you had, for the longest time, you had Sepentor and Cobra Commander. Cobra Commander obviously being the prime villain, and you just know them, and you like to hate them. You think they're cool villains, and then they brought in I can't remember the alien villains, and you're just kind of thinking, I don't know who these people are. They're like weird alien creatures. And then they fuck up Cobra Commander. They completely like take off his mask, and you almost feel sympathy for Cobra Commander, even though he's the villain. You're not supposed to like him. You're thinking to yourself, man, no, I want the G.I. Joe to beat Cobra Commander. I don't want them to fight, you know, evil alien people. And so I feel the same way when I watched the Power Rangers movie with Ivan Ooze when he got rid of Rita and Zedd. I'm like, no,
yeah.
But I want the Power Rangers to fight Rita and Zedd. That's what I know.
Yeah, that's what you want. And it's kind of the same thing with Zeo, because Rita and Zedd are of this place there as well, and we get the new villains in the Machine Empire. And it's like, again, like, and you know, this is kind of going back to the being stuck with the continuity. We didn't say we were a presence, but they weren't the main threat. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, you want Rita and Zed. That's who you know. That's who the Power Rangers beat up on. You don't know these machine people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and there's not to say that you can't grow to like these machine people, but it's like I said, it's that love-hate relationship where it's almost like the Joker-Batman relationship where they both kind of cancel each other out. And so if you take rid of one, everything fails, right? Because, like, without Batman, I mean, you know, Joker has really no purpose and vice versa. And I feel like the same way with Power Rangers, where you take away Rita and Zed, and then it's kind of like, well, there's no purpose anymore.
Yeah, they're just fighting random evil at that point.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of something else, and it, you know, pisses me off too, and I don't think a lot of people actually care about this as much because nobody was watching the show. But it's the same thing that happened with Ninja Turtles when they replaced Shredder and Krang with Lord Dreg.
I don't even know who Lord Dreg is. I gotta look this guy up.
Yeah, most people don't. He was in Ninja Turtles cartoon switched over to CBS around, I want to say, 92, 93, and they had, like, the Red Sky era, and they introduced this new villain who, you know, because Shredder and Krang were finally defeated, and this new alien creature came, and he would be more badass. Yeah, it's, you know, like, I understand why you want to freshen it up, but it's always so odd when you kind of just chase these films that people have kind of grown accustomed to.
Wow, I'm looking, to be honest, I don't think I've ever seen this character, and I was a huge Ninja Turtles fan. I mean, massive, massive Ninja Turtles fan, and I don't think I've ever seen this character. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's actually kind of interesting because it's a very unknown, like, a lot of people don't watch that series. So what they did was they put some of those episodes when they re-released the original series on DVD, they would put those episodes as bonuses. But yeah, it's, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, again, you know, as a kid, you kind of like what you like, and you know these characters, and you want these characters to be around, and you want them, you know. Power Rangers take on Rita and Zed. They don't take on the Machine Empire. They don't take on Diva Tox. They don't take on...
Or it's like Transformers, you know, when Megatron became Galvatron. You're like, I don't want Galvatron. I want Megatron. That's what we know. It's something that, you know, will always be the same. And so when you take that out of the equation, then it starts to feel... That's the point where I think, as a fan, you start to get turned off, and you think to yourself, okay, I don't want to watch this anymore. This isn't the show that I knew. And I think that's probably why they do the idea of just rebooting the series every season, because so this doesn't happen, so you don't get really attached, and you don't get to this point where you're thinking, oh wait, I need that villain back.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of funny because, again, you jumped off before Theo, but later on, after they replace the villains, they actually replace Zordon and Alpha as well with, they get another talking head, but this time it's a female, but they replace Alpha 5 with Alpha 6, and Alpha 6 is a Jive talking robot.
That's awesome. I gotta look this up.
So yeah, you know, again, I kind of understand at that point they wanted to try to freshen up the show, but kids kind of, you know, kids want what they want, and probably already kind of waned, and like you said, after a while they just kind of started doing we'll just reboot it every year, because not only does that give you the luxury of introduce, but if you have a bad season, you can just kind of go back to the well and not have to worry about what came before and fix it or whatever.
I will say though, and I don't know how you feel about this, but when I've seen over the years all the different Power Rangers seasons with, you know, there's like, you know, Samurai and Space and Neo and dinosaurs and all this stuff, I just cannot help but think, how hard is it for them to come up with new costumes and Megazords and weapons? I mean... At some point, they just got to be, you know, running out of ideas, but they managed to always come up with new stuff, and I'm just flabbergasted that they're able to do that.
It's actually kind of, because it seems like they have two main motifs. It's either It's either like a... Actually, I guess they have three main motifs. They have vehicles, they have turbo, they have Operation Overdrive, they have RPMs, which are all based around cars and stuff like that. They have the animals, which is what the, you know, the original Power Rangers, Dino Thunder, Wild Force, Jungle Fury are based. And then they have, they kind of have, like, I guess, the Power Rangers as a police force, because you have a high-speed rescue.
Oh, yeah, the SPF, right?
SPD, yeah.
SPD, that's right.
So it is interesting because I'm thinking the same thing. Like after a while, they do repeat like the Dino Thunder. They have like Tyrannosaurus Rex and it has like a Mastodon and stuff like that. And you know, cars are cars, but at the same time, you know, like, they've been doing this for 30 years. They come up with new stories every year. They come up with new vehicles, new Zords, new transformations,
and like even the monsters too. Because I mean. Even in the Mighty Morphin series, which was, you know, maybe a couple of years of programming, they still had, like, a ton of monster designs for those episodes. And some of those monster designs were pretty, like, out there and weird looking. And so, and I always thought to myself, too, just as a kid when I'm thinking about how the show was shot, that, okay, if you're in the Power Ranger suit, you know, it's fairly, or the putties or whatever, you know, it's really easy to do martial arts. It's not that constraining on your body. They're like, you know, these kind of skin-tight costumes are very flexible. But then there's some of those monsters where the costumes are just so intricate and bulky and weird looking. I'm just like, man, it must suck to, like, try to do fight scenes in these things.
Yeah, that and they also, I don't know if they do it, how often they do it, but they also sometimes do fight scenes in the Megazords, because sometimes it's actually just...
That's right, yeah, and how bulky and weird that is.
Yeah, because you also have to move like a robot. So that kind of has to be constricting as well. So what I'm always impressed about is the fact that they continue to get people who are... Because, you know, not only do you have to do it in the costume, but these people also have to be able to do martial arts on their own. Because they have, like we said before, most of the time they fight outside of the costumes before they morph, so you also have to be able to do this. And the fact that they continue to find young people who are into martial arts for 20 years and are pretty good at it, you know, at least for a show.
Yeah, I mean, even in the original series, I mean, Tommy was obviously legit, and Jason actually had some skills, and even, who was the Black Ranger? I forget.
Zach.
Zach, yeah, I mean, like, his hip-hop, keto, or whatever he called it. Obviously, like, some of them weren't that great. I mean, Billy was pretty bad, and, you know, and Kimberly wasn't that great in the beginning. But, I mean, yeah, it is impressive that they're able to find people that, you know, they can somewhat train them in. Because I haven't really seen some of the newer series. I don't know, you know, how well those kids are, but... it's pretty awesome that they're able to kind of keep this going for this long. I mean, I'm actually surprised that the series has been going on as long as it has, because you think at some point it would die down. And if you really think about it, actually, is there a series that's been going on as long as the Power Rangers this consistent?
No, I mean, the closest thing I could think of would be, again, and even this is shorter, would be Pokemon, which is up there with, because Pokemon's going on, what, 18 years?
Is Pokemon still going on? No.
Yeah.
Really?
Pokemon still exists, and Pokemon still maintains an overarching storyline.
That's insane. I gotta look this up.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Pokemon, part of the deal was that the Game Freak, or the Pokemon company made with Nintendo, is like, as long as they continue producing games, they have to continue producing the anime. Because they also up to, I think they're up to like the 15th or 16th Pokemon movie now.
Oh my god, you're right. It's still going on. That's insane. Wow, okay, I did not know it was still... Yeah, so when was it? Then Pokemon, you're right. So Pokemon may be the one of the series that still continues to this day, but... If you think about it, if you're divorced Pokemon, which is an animated series, I don't think there's... I can't even think of a live-action kids series that can even rival Power Rangers in terms of longevity.
I can't think of many series that can rival Power Rangers as far as longevity. Not only longevity, but popularity. It still remains popular. It still remains...
That's true.
that kids get into. Like I said, I work with daycare kids and they enjoy it. And we're kind of getting back, at least I am getting back to the age where I can go back and I won't watch the entire series because there's a lot of filler episodes, but I usually check out the premieres just to see what I'm dealing with. Just like I'll be checking out Megaforce this Saturday. The main reason I want to check out Megaforce is because it's the 20th anniversary of the series, and there is what they call the Legendary War, and it's 30 years of Sentai, because it was the 30th anniversary in Japan, so it was 30 years of Sentai characters all teaming up, which means we might get that here, which is going to be 20 years of like Power Rangers teaming up in an epic battle.
Interesting.
Yeah, so if that happens, I'll be there day one. If not, Netflix has it, and I'll probably just catch it.
Oh, that's right, yeah, Netflix. I kind of want to watch it this weekend, too. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it should be fun. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if you watch Samurai, but they went back to the originals. They didn't go back to the original theme, but they went back to the original theme beat. So it has the go-go Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
But now it mentions Samurai and stuff. And it sounds like that's what they're continuing to do with Megaforce. So Megaforce has that beat, but I assume they change it up for that that show as well.
Interesting. Well, I mean, it's so cool that, and it was funny, too, because I think Power Rangers was sold to Disney, and then Saban bought it back. So now it's back in its original owner. So it's just weird how this series has just gone through so much history over the past 20 years. And I mean, I wonder if 20 years from now we'll still be talking about Power Rangers.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, again, it's one of those it's very hard nowadays to kill something, and that sounds negative, but I mean, we're on our third Ninja Turtles reboot.
That's true, but if you think about it, though, what's different about those Ninja Turtle reboots is that it's not consistent. I mean, Power Rangers, I don't think it may have been consistently on television from 1993 until now, with very little breaks.
Yeah, the only real break would have been, like we mentioned earlier, is when they brought back, during the Disney-Saban negotiation phase, whatever, since Disney was trying to get rid of it and Saban was buying it, they re-aired the original Power Rangers show with the weird graphics and stuff. Other than that, it's been a series every year since then, I believe.
Yeah, which is just insane when you think about it, because, I mean, Ninja Turtles, I mean, there was long gaps, and they had the different series and stuff like that. And, something like Transformers, you can say too, but Transformers the same way where, they had different reboots, different series, and same with Batman. Batman's had different incarnations over the years. So, Power Rangers is something that just won't die. Just cannot kill it.
No matter how many evil monsters try to take over the Earth.
I know, right? Or how many inept villains keep making costumes that are easily killable for the Power Rangers. It doesn't matter. But I think we've covered like almost everything we can about the Power Rangers.
And it's a great show. Like I said, I'll be checking out Megaforce this weekend. I'll have my thoughts on it. I look forward to 20 more years of Power Rangers.
Oh God, if we're still talking about Power Rangers 20 years from now, that will be insane.
You never know. I mean, I can see it going off the air for a bit, but I assume it'll be right back. Like everything, every good, you can't keep a good thing down.
To bring a wrestling reference in, I just want to hear Saban be like, the longest running children's Power Ranger television show in history.
And maybe they will start to, I hope not, because I hate that music interlude that the WWE does every week on Raw.
But the thing is, like, for Raw, it's kind of stupid because when they try to like hammer that down, but for Power Rangers, I actually do think it's impressive. I mean, if they say they're the longest running television kids live action show, I mean, it is true, and that is, and unless you count like Sesame Street, but I mean, that's a totally different series and totally different genre. So they deserve props. I give them props. Thumbs up.
Yeah, it's been an impressive run. They continue to amaze and continue to, you know, bring joy to kids and adolescents at heart with their kung fu fighting, their giant robots, their monsters, their explosions.
Their sparks that come out of their suits, so I still don't know how they do it.
Which, their magical sparks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, and you know, you still don't get much. There's still not much giant robots on TV, which is a shame.
Yeah, you're right. Not as many as they should be, and especially not live action giant robots. I think Power Rangers has the patent on that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like we said, we had competition that tried to come in and they couldn't do anything, and I doubt we'll see much more in the way that will dethrone Power Rangers anytime soon. Maybe we'll get a live action movie again.
That would be great. I think it would be very hard to do in this day and age, but you never know. They've actually done some, I think they've done some TV movies, so, but to get another live action movie would be very impressive. And if that does happen, I will be there day one.
Nice. Like I said, our Nerd Bowl has been pushed back to, I guess, March. Next week, hopefully, I'll watch the Shit Bitches Awards, the best in movies of 2012, I should say. You know, check out the website, nerdsontherocks.com. You can find, well, you can tell these kind people where to find you.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. you can find me on Twitter at COO tag bro, and I also work on SimCity, which is coming out March 5th. So if you're into that series, I highly recommend checking out. And thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
No problem. So for Michael and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 122.